Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to be in verses 20 through 21 this morning. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. Our worship may have clued you into this, but we're going to be speaking of the power of God this morning. So the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, starting in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Please join me in prayer. Lord, you are able. You have all power. You have conquered the grave. You've conquered our sinful, rebellious hearts, Lord. Worked salvation in them. You have brought many of us in this room from death to life. You are able. And you are worthy of all praise. So we just pray that we see you as you are this morning. That we have eyes to see, yes, the beauty and glory of Christ, but the power and ability of you, our God. Help us to truly believe what your word teaches, that you truly can and do more than we ask or think, Lord. So Jesus, I pray that you be big this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that you do a work in this place, in our hearts. Cause worship to happen in this place. And if there's anyone in here who has not yet come to know you, I pray that your power work in their heart, that you breathe new life into them, that you bring forth life where there is spiritual death, and that you add another to your kingdom this day, in this place. Let your word go forth in power. Holy Spirit, apply it to our hearts. Give me power to preach your word and unction. We pray these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So really, the question I want to pose for us this morning is God able? Is God able? Because the truth of the matter is, intellectually as Christians, yes, we know God has all power. He's able. But we frequently become discouraged. So we look at the circumstances in our lives, we pray prayers, and they seem to go unanswered. And whether we want to admit it or not, we struggle with unbelief. Is God really able? We begin to think. Like, is he able to fix this circumstance in front of me? Is he able to answer this prayer? Is he able to use me in ways that truly matter? And we may begin to doubt that he can. And that's not too different from the situation the Ephesians found themselves in. They were discouraged by Paul's imprisonment. We see that in chapter 3, verse 13. Paul says, I ask you to not lose heart over what I am suffering. So the implication there is they were losing heart. They were becoming discouraged. They may have found themselves thinking, can God really do anything? I mean, if he can, if he's able to do anything, why is Paul still in prison? But Paul, in our text that we have before us this morning, reminds us that God truly is able. He reminds those he writes to of God's power, that he's more than able to accomplish anything. If he wants Paul out of prison, he'll cause an earthquake to happen and get him out of there. God is able. He's God. He's omnipotent. He has all power. And he's committed to using that power in the lives of his people, in the lives of you and me, and displaying his glory in and through us. So that's what I want us to see in our text this morning. I want us to see that God truly is able. I want us to see the extent of God's power. And that's almost a silly way to phrase it, because the truth of the matter is there is no extent to God's power. He's more than able. More than able to do whatever he wills. Then I want us to see the objects of God's power. God's power is not abstract, but it's at work in you and me if we are in Christ. And then lastly, I want us to see the goal of God's power at work in and through us. And that is the glory of his name. So because God's all-powerful, because he can move mountains and bring life to dead hearts, and because God's committed to using his power in and through us to bring glory and honor to his name, I hope that we leave here encouraged and trusting that God truly is able. And I pray that we leave here even knowing that when we think he isn't answering our prayers, what he's really doing is he's doing more than we could even think or ask. He's not doing less than we're asking. If anything, he's always doing more than we're asking if he doesn't answer our prayers in the way we expect him to. So let's get into it. Look with me at verse 20. In the first half of that verse, we'll see the extent of God's power. So we're on the tail end here of Paul's prayer that we worked through last week. He was praying that the Ephesians would be strengthened spiritually, that they would know more of Christ's love. Now, in a sense, Paul closes his prayer to the God he's praying to. He says at the beginning of verse 20 there, "Now to him who is able." Now, Paul was praying a pretty lofty prayer, and he reminds those that he writes to that he prays to the one who is able. Like, not only is his prayer not falling on deaf ears, he's praying to the Father whom the whole church has access to. We've already learned about. He's praying to the one who hears the prayers of his children. But here, Paul narrows in and reminds us that Paul's praying to the one who is able. Not only does he hear and care for us and listen, but he's able to do whatever he wills. He has power. He's praying to the God who spoke the world into existence. We actually sung about in our first song, the one who parted the sea. He's praying to the one who causes nations to rise and fall. And he's praying to the one who can bring the dead to life. He truly is praying to him who is able. But able to do what? Able to do what? Again, what's the extent of God's power? Well, there is no extent, but Paul goes on to say, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. So this tells us that not only is God able, he's able to do more, like supremely more than our minds could even fathom, or supremely more than we could even ask him to do. So God's able to do more than we think. Let's talk about that a little bit, that our minds can't grasp the ability of what God can do. His ability surpasses the limits of the abilities of our mind to even think. So I want you right now in your seats to stretch your mind to think of the most extravagant thing that you could fathom God doing. And that is nothing to God. He can do supremely more than that. But let's even think about what God's word tells us he can do and has done. So we look up at the sky at night. We just behold the beauty of God's creation. So there's galaxies that span further than we can even begin to discover with all our advancements in science. Just recently, I learned of one new telescope in the matter of 3 hours discovered 49 new galaxies. Not planets, 49 new galaxies. That's how vast the universe that God just spoke into existence, as if it was nothing, just poof. In an instance, ex nihilo, from nothing, he made all the beauty and all the wonder and all that our universe holds. So we can see God's power at work in creation. But not only did he speak it into existence, he governs it all. So despite the vastness of the universe, God's word tells us that not a sparrow falls from the sky apart from our Father. And while we're talking about sparrows, Jesus, to further illustrate in a different gospel, talks about how the hairs of our heads are numbered to illustrate how much more he cares for us as his children. I mean, God created you, and he created me, and he created this universe, if that weren't enough. But he governs his creation so intricately that he knows every strand of hair on Quentin's head, right? And he knows if it's going to fall out, when it's going to fall out. We hope, Quentin, it doesn't fall out, right? But he knows if it's going to, right? That's how intricately God is governing his creation. He's not detached from it. He's a God who governs and controls that which he creates. So not only do we see God's power displayed in creation, we see God's power displayed in his providence, in the way he guides and cares for and directs all things, even our own lives. Think back to all the ways that God in his providence has cared for you. I mean, time after time after time again, I'm sure we all have stories of how he's shown up. He showed up in ways you would have never expected. You couldn't have even planned or thought about. He truly did provide a way where there was no way. He met needs that you did not think could be met. And he did it in such a way that you could have never planned or conjured up. It was better than anything you ever could have imagined or planned. That's who our God is. That's his power and his providence and care for us. But what about your own salvation? Think about God's power displayed there. Ultimately, that's where we see God's power most magnified, is in the cross. And when God took you, when you were dead in the grave and plucked you out of it and breathed new life into your dead heart and gave you a true hope. He gave you new life. And for many of us in this room, it probably came out of nowhere. Like many of us, the most unlikely candidates. So think of God's power in even your own salvation. And then think of those you know, whether it's your loved ones, your friends, people in your own families who you thought, no way. No way they're ever going to come to know the Lord. And then one day, what happens? They're sitting in a church service. They hear the power of God preached through the gospel. And God uses it to change a life, to change a destiny, to change someone eternally. Our God is able. He is powerful. So as we think of all these different things, these different ways God works in power, different aspects of God's power, what Paul is telling us here is all those things we've considered, God can do infinitely more than that. God can do infinitely more than that. Yet we still doubt, don't we? We still doubt if God is able. We still question if he's really able. Like, can he really do this? And all of you have a this. Insert the blank there, right? Can he really change this? Can he do this? Can he work in this way? We question this. And I think part of why that is Paul goes on to tell us that God is able to do far more than we even ask, far more than we even pray for. And I think part of the reason we doubt is because we've all asked. If you're a Christian, you've asked. We've all prayed for things, maybe for healing, maybe for a miracle, maybe for the salvation of a loved one, and we might sit here and think, well, that prayer went unanswered. I asked. God didn't do it. Yes, we've seen God answer many prayers, but we think to ourselves, many prayers have gone unanswered. It's probably comparable to how the Ephesians felt. I mean, God's word doesn't tell us this, but I'm sure one of them had to be praying for Paul's release from prison, right? Paul very well may have even been praying for his own release from prison. But there he sits, still in chains. Where are you, God? Are you not able? They may have thought to themselves. Yet what Paul does here is remind them precisely that he is able. He's the one who caused, as I mentioned on the front end, previously when Paul was in prison, an earthquake to happen just to get him out of there. And God can do abundantly more than that. So because those he writes to are tempted to lose heart, they needed this reminder. God is able to do abundantly more than all that we think or ask. So even if Paul was still in prison, it certainly wasn't because God is unable. But instead, it was precisely because our God is the one who does more than we think or ask. Not less than we think or ask. More, abundantly more than we think or ask. That's who our God is. He sees the whole picture. Always knows what's best. And he's got all the power and ability to carry it out. And even as Paul was imprisoned, that's exactly what God was doing. He was doing more than anyone could have asked. God inspired Paul in this short imprisonment to write 4 books contained in our New Testament. God enabled the gospel to go forth and souls to be saved, even in the midst of Paul's imprisonment. God used Paul's imprisonment as a source of encouragement for Christians then and has continued to do so for 2,000 years. For 2,000 years, still into this day. And he's going to continue to use it through his word as a source of encouragement for Christians until the end comes. So even though it might have looked like God wasn't working, like that God wasn't answering their prayers, God was doing more than anyone could think or ask. I doubt anyone would have had the wherewithal to go, you know what, Lord? Send Paul to prison so that he would pen 4 books of the New Testament, inspire him to write those, keep him there for a while while he's there, enable souls to be saved, and keep them there even a little bit longer so that he can be a source of encouragement for suffering Christians for thousands of years to come. I don't think anyone was thinking to pray like that. But our God does more than we think or ask. And even for us, when the circumstances look bleak in our lives, like when we're discouraged, when we've prayed and prayed and prayed for the burden to be lifted, when we've prayed and prayed and prayed for the circumstances to change, when we've prayed and prayed and prayed for the healing to happen, and then the burden isn't lifted, and the circumstances don't change, and the healing doesn't come, it's not because God is not able. It's because our God does more than we could think or ask. He sees all things, knows all things. His intentions for you as his child are perfect. He knows the perfect ends and the perfect means of accomplishing those ends. He's working all things, everything in the life of the believer, and just in general, according to the counsel of his will we learned earlier in Ephesians. And his will is perfect. So as Christians, when we go to the Lord in prayer, let's not forget that our God is able. He can do far more than we think or ask. He can do exactly what we're asking him to do. assuming it's in accordance with his character. Few things God can't do. He can't lie, right? Can't sin. But if you're praying for something in accordance with his character, he can do that, and he can do even more than that, more than we ask. His power and his ability and his wisdom exceed our ability to even ask him. So in the future, when we go to the Lord in prayer, and our prayers aren't answered in a way that we anticipate, it's precisely because our God does more than we could think or ask, not less. He can do what you petition him for, but what he will do is ultimately even better. It's better. He always does what's best for his children and in the perfect timing. So just think to yourself, like, that in the midst of your difficult circumstances, if you prayed for something to change and it hasn't, or something to happen and it hasn't, God very well may be doing more than you could think or ask. But we're frequently like children. We're like little kids, and we ask our Father for something we really want. But as a good father, he knows what's truly best. So he's going to give you more than what you ask for, better than what you ask or think. And like, I'm not talking about you ask for a new car and God's going to bless you with a Corvette. That's nonsense. I mean, praise God if he does, right? But like, I'm not talking about God's going to help you live your best life now. When I was a new believer, this book was given to me by my aunt, and I started to read things like that, and I'm like really confused because I'm reading God's word, and I'm like, that doesn't sound like what God's word is saying. So when I'm saying that God might give you more than what you think or ask, what I'm saying is he might not change the circumstances. The healing might not come. The burden might not be lifted. If he wants to change it, he will, and he can. But if he's not doing it, he's not doing it because he's doing a good work in you far greater than what you could even ask for. Even in the difficulties, even in Paul's imprisonment, even in our suffering, because his power is at work in you if you're a Christian. We are the objects of God's power. Let's look at verse 20 again. We've covered now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we think or ask. So let's narrow in on the second part now. According to the power, God's power at work within us. So despite the vastness of God's power, he spoke billions of galaxies into existence, it's not an abstract, it's not a detached power. As opposed to a detached power, Paul tells those he writes to that God's power is actually at work in and through them. It's working in them, it's working through them. God's power has already brought them from death to life, we learned about. God's power is presently dwelling in them as the dwelling place of God, the church. And God's power has done and is doing the same in you and me. Like, let's just stop and think about for a second. Remember, we talked about the vastness of the universe that God just spoke into existence as if it were nothing? I want to give a quote, and it might take a little explanation. So consider the power of God in creation. If a computer were observing 10 million stars per second, it would still take 63 million years to count all the stars. Such is the power of the Almighty. Remarkably, the stars are a work of his fingers, but salvation is the work of his right hand. In a wonderful way, God's work in making believers, that's you and me, new creations in Christ Jesus, demonstrates a greater power than his commanding the world into existence. So despite God's power being limitless, it's personal. And where it's greatest displayed is the cross and when God applied the work of redemption there to your hearts. He's effectually worked his power in you if you're a Christian. He brought you from death to life. He brought you from death to life. And in many ways, that's a greater demonstration of God's power than him creating the entire universe from nothing.
Amen.
Amen is right. Because God creating the world didn't cost him anything. But Christ had to suffer for your salvation. There was no resistance in the work of creation. He made something from nothing. That's light work for God. But in your salvation, he had to overcome the resistance and obstinacy of your sinful, deceitful, wicked heart. And that still was nothing for God, but that was a greater demonstration of his power than speaking the world into existence. Because from death to life, that's a greater distance. From unrighteousness bound for hell to righteousness and new life, that distance, the span of that distance, is far greater than the span of nothing to something. What God's done in and through us, the power that he's worked in us, is more than we could fathom. Because what he's actually done in you, if you're a Christian, is he's done the exact same thing that he did in Christ. That's thinking about baptism. There's people that want to be baptized here lately, soon, coming up, right? Praise God for that. But in many ways, that's what we do in baptism. That's what we're symbolizing. We died with Christ. In the same way God rose Christ from the grave, he rose you to newness of life. And the power that did that to Jesus Christ himself is the power that has worked in you and is working in you and is dwelling in you. Amen. We have access to power. And what that power is doing is it's working to further conform us into the image of Christ. It's empowering us to obedience. So again, as we move forward and Brother Angel preaches next week and we start to get into the here's what you do with all this of the book of Ephesians, let us remember that God will empower us to do it. If God gives a command, if you're a Christian, he empowers you to obey it. He empowers you to obey it. His power is at work in you, putting sin to death, causing you to pick up your cross and die daily to your own fleshly desires. It's not like he just worked in our salvation and then his power was done working in us. His power will continue to work in us for all the days of our life, causing us to persevere until the end. That's my hope as a Christian. That should be your hope too. Not in your ability to obey, not in your ability to persevere, not in your ability to run the race well, but in God's ability to sustain you and work in you and cause you to persevere. God's word is working in you to renew your minds. As you read your Bibles, you know, you may wake up and have a quiet time with the Lord, and sometimes we do that and it feels like I just read words on a page. Nothing powerful happened there. But I promise you, yes, it did. It did. God is working his power in his word to renew your minds. And it's also working in you so you can even enjoy more of God. Think about that. The power that made the whole existence, the power that rose from the Christ from the grave, is working in you so you can enjoy more of him. Like, praise God. Who doesn't want to enjoy God more? I certainly do. And his power is working in us to that end. It's working in you to make you more fit for heaven. That may be exactly what he's doing in the difficult circumstances in your life. That may be the more than you think or ask that he's doing. And we'll see later on that ultimately his power is working in you and through you to bring glory to the name Jesus Christ. These are the ends that God is working the means in your life towards. So when you're praying to the God who can do more than you think or ask, remember that, yes, his power, it is abundant, but his ways are higher than your ways. So when prayers aren't answered, again, the way we think they should be, when it seems like God's not doing what we ask, those things that we just talked about might just be the more than we think or ask that God is doing in you and through you. Because ultimately what he's doing is working things in your life for your own good and the glory of his name. So his power is working in us, but it's also working through us. It's also working through us. It's working through us to proclaim what appears to be the foolish message of the cross that is truly the power of God unto salvation. His power is working through us to proclaim the gospel to the world. His power is working through us in this room to build up the church. We may not think it, but even I just walking around this morning, I mean, something as simple as hearing Brother Ed encourage families here and, like, love on their children and care for others. Like, God's working in this place in ways we may not even think of to build up the church, to build up unity, to strengthen other believers. That word of encouragement that you offer to your brother or sister who's discouraged, God's working in that to build that person up. God's working in that to build up the body here at has. God's working in and through us to do other people's spiritual good, in particular in this local church. God's working in us to be the hands and feet of Christ in the world. So you see, yes, God can do more than we think or ask in us, in our own hearts, but he can do more than we think or ask through us. Let me kind of try to illustrate here. Let me ask you this. Y'all might think I'm crazy, and that's okay. Would you believe if I told you that God could take little old Kaz Church and change the world? Would you believe me if I told you that God could use our church to make a tremendous impact on not only South Buffalo, but the city of Buffalo? Would you believe me if I told you that God could raise up a future generation of leaders in this place that would go on to be faithful gospel witnesses far long after me and Joe or any of the elders are even on this earth? Would you believe me if I told you that God could take someone sitting in these seats, whether they're here now or whether they're going to come in the future, and raise them up to be missionaries and go to the nations to preach the gospel? Would you believe me if I told you God could even provide us with the funds to send them to the nations to do that? Would you believe me if I told you that Kaz Church could be a church that goes on to plant other churches? Our little old recovery church. And this has nothing to do. In many ways, I frequently feel that God works despite me. He's good. I'm weak. He's good. Our little old recovery church, we don't have many people that come. I mean, we just don't. We have 15, 20, right? Maybe on a weekly basis. And praise God for those who are here. Like, we see good spiritual fruit from it. But my prayer for that ministry has always been, God, do more than we could think or ask. Right? And God took one of our leaders 6 months in, and he went on to go plant another recovery church ministry. And that's doing far better than ours is. There's like 100 people there every week hearing the gospel, right? God did more than we could think or ask. And we're okay with the 15 we have. That's what God has given us. Praise God for that. But God has chosen to do more than we could think or ask and cause this other ministry to spring up and impact hundreds of individuals in recovery an hour away from here. God can do more. We're clapping for God there. We're clapping for God there. I have little to do with that. But what about this? Let's narrow in a little bit more, especially for those of us with families, young children, right? Would you believe me if I told you that God could cause us here at this church to take family discipleship so seriously that whole entire family tree lines of sin patterns could be changed? Instead of generations of sin and addiction and struggle, whatever the case may be, that God could take that and instead turn that around and cause families to have generations and generations and generations of godly seed. Wow is right. Wow is right. Absolutely. So think about this. Those right there are all things I conjured up in my mind. I thought about those. And what does God's word say? It says he's able to do far more abundantly than all we think or ask according to his power at work within us. You know what that tells me? What that tells us, church? He can do even more than that through this church. Would we believe it? Would we commit ourselves to praying to that end? Would we pray big? Our God's big. Would we get on our faces before the living God and beg him to do more than we ask or think in and through us and in and through Kaz Church? Because he can, and he might just use our prayers, your prayers, as the means of bringing that about. I mean, these are prayers, you're praying in accordance with his word. These are prayers that God is delighted to answer because he's a God who is committed to the glory of his name. Look with me at verse 21. To him be glory. To him be glory. That's the goal of God's power at work in you. That's the goal of God's power at work through you. It's his glory. He's committed to displaying the majesty and splendor of himself that results in the praise of his name. There, that's my own. If you're like, what's glory in this context? That's my own definition for you of it, right? God's glory in this context is the fact that he's committed to displaying his majesty and splendor that results in the praise of his name. And where is he committed to that glory being displayed? In the church. In you. In me. And in Christ Jesus. Throughout all generations, forever and ever. First in the church. Think of that lofty vision I kind of just cast of what God may be able to do through Kaz Church. If this is true, if God's word is true, that to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, and if he's able to do more than we think or ask, why would he not be willing to do what would bring him the most glory in our lives individually and in the church corporately? Christian, he has all power. He has all strength. He has all ability. It's in his nature. It's literally who God is. And he's the only one worthy of glory. Yet he's chosen for that glory to be displayed most prominently in the church, which means in you and me. Like, our lives matter. Like, God can really bring eternal significance which is glory to his name in and through you and me. In and through the church. Remember that we've learned we are the dwelling place of God? The church is the dwelling place of God? So certainly these things tell us that God is able to do whatever it takes to most display his glory in your life. That's what he's doing in your life. Again, even through the difficulties, even through Paul's imprisonment, that's what he was doing. He was displaying his glory. And you might not see it now. You might not know now why or how or the ways God was using that to display his glory and work those difficult circumstances in your life for your good. But there's going to be a day. There's going to be a day everyone in this room who's a Christian is going to cross over the River Jordan into the Promised Land. You're going to be in heaven. And you're going to look back at all the days, all the seconds of your life, all the years. And you're going to see. Like, we'll see that he truly was doing more than we think or ask. And we won't question it then, but what we'll do is fall on our faces before him and praise him, because we will see, my goodness, Lord, what you were doing, I could have never fathomed. I didn't know. Thank you. You are good. You are good. And corporately, as the church, is he not most able to do in and through our church what will bring him most glory? That should be our aim in life and our aim as CAS Church. To do what brings most honor and praise to the name Jesus. To do what displays the goodness of our God. And if that's for us to be a church that does all those things and turns the city of Buffalo on its head and makes a very large impact, like, praise God for that. He can and will do that. But if he chooses not to do that, that's A-okay. Because he will use the church universal. He will use the body of Christ across the world, one way or the other, to do what brings most honor and glory to the name Jesus. So let's pray that a future generation of leaders is raised up here and work to that end. Absolutely. I know Joe labors diligently to that end. Let's labor diligently to that end. Right? And if God does it, praise him. He's going to get all the glory. But if he doesn't, praise God that he's going to do it somewhere else. Because whether he chooses to do it or not, through us, there will continue to be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Like, his glory will be displayed in the church and in Christ. One way or the other. Because think about it. The church, we're united to Christ by faith. We are his bride. And God will ensure that she brings glory and honor to his name. One way or the other. He'll do it in this generation. He'll do it in the next generation. If there's a generation after that, he'll do it in that generation, and he'll do it in every generation that there is until the end is ushered in. He's going to ensure that his glory is shown and displayed in his created world through the church. He's going to ensure that his glory is displayed in those whom he has bled and died for. And he will do that now and forevermore. And that's not going to stop with the end of the created world, the physical world as we know it. That's going to continue for all of eternity. There will be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus all the days that this world remains, yes, but there will be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all of eternity in heaven, where his glory will be most fully seen. Like saints, if you're a Christian, like we've got glory to look forward to, and I know you guys know that, right? But sometimes we need reminders. So in heaven, his glory is going to be fully seen. And until that time comes, so as we're kind of in this in-between, this already and not yet, his glory is being displayed and his glory is going to be fully displayed in heaven, in the new heavens and new earth. So when we're in that in-between, let's not forget the extent of God's power. So as we go about our lives, let's not forget that he's able to do more than we think or ask. Like, he is able, so we can trust him. Even when it looks like our prayers aren't being answered, his power is at work in us. His power is at work in us. So to quote Jonathan Edwards, his power is at work in us, enabling and empowering our experience of God's knowledge, love, and joy. Sounds like what Paul prayed for last week in many ways. So God's power is always at work in us, even in the midst of difficulty, enabling and empowering our own experience of God's own knowledge, love, and joy, so that with the result of our words, deeds, and emotions rebounding to the praise of his glory. So God's power is at work in us, working joy in us, working knowledge of who God is in us, working an awareness of his love in us, so that all that we do, so that all of our lives would be lived unto the glory of God. Like, that's what God is doing in you. And let us not forget his limitless power is also at work through us. And, you know, I need this reminder. I need this reminder as well. God's limitless power is work in and through me and in and through you. Because I'll tell you where encouragement isn't going to come in the midst of discouragement. It's not going to come from looking at ourselves. I can promise you that. It's going to come from looking at the God who is able to work in us and able to work through us. So pray big, Kaz Church. Pray that God would do more than we think or ask through little old you, little old me, and this little old church. And let's trust that he will do that. He's done it for many years in and through this church, because his word tells us that he can do more than we think or ask, because he's committed to his glory being displayed in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we simply ask. First, we praise you. We praise you that you are a God who can and does do more than we think or ask. Help us to trust you, that you can and will and are doing that. Help us to not doubt your power, Lord, and we simply echo what Paul says here, that you would do more than we think or ask in and through us, in our own hearts. Conform us further into your image. Make us more like Christ. Do what only you can do in our lives and hearts. And we ask that you would do far, far more than we could think or ask through this place and these people, Lord. Bring glory to the name Jesus in and through us, and empower us to be people who live lives committed to the glory of your name. We love you, Lord. We thank you that we have access to you. Therefore, we have access to power. Remind us of this and let it cause us to praise you, Lord. We pray these things in your name. Amen.